Am I privileged to say good afternoon to Rod Stewart? And Rod Stewart, he is in Centurion in Gauteng. Rod, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Johan. Thank you very much.
And thank you for being with us, our guest on Spectrum this afternoon. We are privileged, Rod.
Well, I feel even more privileged, brother. Thank you very much for having me.
When I saw the name Rod Stewart, I thought I'm going to the rock star.
Well, I do have a problem with that, yes.
I can just imagine. So many people must think, well, we're in the company of the rock star Rod Stewart. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think before I came to Christ, I was a rock star. Now I'm the one who follows the rock.
And that's good. And that's good. Before, yeah. You was a rock star, and now you follow and stand on the rock of Christ Jesus. Hey. Rod Stewart, let's start at the end of the story. You are in ministry, a prophetic and a healing ministry, and the Lord has called you into full-time ministry. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk. Amen to that. And even those who can't even speak, they will start singing. Isn't that true?
Yes, indeed, Johan. I've been in full-time ministry now just over 5.5 years after God called me. And it's a wonderful ministry because I don't have a congregation as such, you know.
Yeah.
I minister to people that are sick. I do have a hall that I operate from in Hatfield in Pretoria. And every second week we invite people to come that are sick. And they come and we praise and worship, and then we share the word of God, and then pray for the sick, and we see wonderful and miraculous signs and wonders taking place every time we minister to people. Yes,
Rodna, I want to ask you to give us some practical praise the Lord, giving us practical testimonies of what happens in your ministry. Tell us about what happened.
Well, you know, one of the things I really do believe we have to do, Johan, is, you know, we need to start laying a platform for the presence of God in any one of our meetings. That is always done through worship and praise and deep worship. It's not just your ordinary worship. It's really deep worship where people are on their knees and, entering in with God. And then from that platform, I would begin to minister, and God would show me, you know, at times God will actually point out those that are really ill, and then, you know, actually show me what's wrong with the folk before they even come up for prayer. And as they come in, you know, I would be praying for them, and you see something extraordinary miracles take place. As I said, the blind see, the lame will walk, and that sort of thing. You know, we see so many miracles. It's just wonderful. It's almost like living in the book of Acts, if I can tell you like that.
I want to start at the beginning. You're talking about deep worship. What do you mean by that? How do you do that? Deep worship.
Deep worship is a surrender. It's a surrender more than anything else. It's a surrender unto the presence of God Almighty. Hmm. And when you come into our meetings, you know, some people are healed before they even get into the meeting. They're even healed at the door as they walk in. They are so touched by the presence of God that they're healed at the door as they enter into the place. And, deep worship is honestly the total surrender of yourself and the complete and utter giving of yourself unto the worship of our great God and King. There's nothing more of self. It's all about Him. It's all about Him.
Tell us about the miracle work that the Lord God Almighty has done and you have witnessed.
Sorry, could you repeat that? I quite didn't hear you.
What I'm saying is, give us testimony of the miracle work the Lord has done through your ministry.
Okay. A lot of the things that we do is not only physical healing, which is cancers going, cancers leaving people, metal falling out of people's body, not falling out of them, but disappearing out of people's bodies. God will give me a word of wisdom, for example, where the Lord will say, tonight I want to heal people with metal in their bodies. And as they come to the fore and pray for them, the metal disappears in their bodies. And they can stand without that metal in their backs or in their arms or in their legs. And they can continue to walk or bend down without any pain or anything to that effect. In fact, I even have x-rays and that sort of stuff to prove all of this sort of stuff. You know, I don't just make claims to say, you know, this is it. But I can actually prove quite clearly that what God does. Yeah, he removes stuff like that. Cancers, within 2 to 3 days, leave people. I even have an incident where a brother, cancer on the ear, they wanted to chop his ear off. The doctors wanted to remove his ear because they were scared the cancer would, you know, metastasize through his body. God healed it in 2 days, and I have photographs of that completely. You know, I've got many testimonies around healings, Jan. It's just wonderful. You know, even people come in with mental disorders and leave, and they're pretty much sane when they leave, you know, that sort of thing. I was speaking to a gentleman this afternoon, just before you phoned. He was riddled with depression. Absolutely riddled with depression. Today, he is a healed man, as I spoke to him on the phone. You know, things like this.
Rod, give us the testimony, sir, of what are the reactions of the people after being healed.
Most of them, Johan, you know, miracle signs and wonders are honestly something that comes straight out of the Bible. And God uses miracle signs and wonders today still to perform his love for his people. God heals because he loves. There's no other reason, really. He wants you healed, obviously, but it's his love for his people. That he doesn't want people to suffer with diseases and things like that. And you know, people come and they are healed, and their reaction is just an open willingness to praise their God. They begin to realize, quite frankly, hey, God is alive. God really wants to heal me. Once people have been healed, you'll never be able to tell that person that there is no God and that God doesn't want to heal. That person will tell you, but I've experienced it, so what are you telling me about? You know, they experience physical healing, mental healing, and it's just wonderful what God does with them.
Rod, take us back to the moment, the 16th of February, 1987.
Sure, Jan. That was a major day in my life. It's the day I gave my life to Christ. And I did it almost 35 years ago now. I'm standing in that very bedroom where all of this took place. I used to abuse alcohol and mess around with many other things that I'm too ashamed to even speak of. And that particular night, I came into my bedroom after I'd had a huge fight with my wife, and a friend had loaned me his pistol with the intention for me to buy it, that I would have a gun in the house, you know. And my wife and I had this big fight. I came into the bedroom, I opened up the cupboard and started to pack clothing, but I was drunk, Johan. I was drunk, and I pulled out the pistol, and I said, well, that's it. I will leave. I will really leave. And I came here, and I was in my bedroom, and I stood up against the bed, that when I do pull the trigger, that at least, you know, I fall on the bed. I make a bit of a joke of it nowadays, and I say, yes, I didn't want to hurt myself, you know, so make sure I fall on the bed, at least not on the floor. But as I stood with my knees, the back of my knees to the bed, and I pulled the gun up to the temple of my head, I heard a voice behind me. I have bay windows that are about 8 to 9 meters away from where the edge of the bed is. And as I've had the gun to my head, the voice came from where the bay windows are. And the voice said, said to me, Rob, I'm asking you, please, do not do this. Hmm. And I spun around to see who was there because I thought, oh, my goodness, now I'm so drunk, I'm hearing voices in my head. And it wasn't in my head. The voices were over there. And I thought, but I've gone crazy. What is wrong with me? And I turned around and picked the pistol up again, and the second time the voice came. But the voice is so tender, and the voice is so beautiful, and the voice is so gentle. And he calls me again a second time, and he said, Rob, I'm asking you, please, do not do this. And I got the gun, and I fell on the bed, and that was it. I became born again that very night. Friends of mine came over, and I got born again that night. That led me to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I've never looked back since that day. Never. That has been the day of my conversion to Christ Jesus. I knew of Christ, obviously, prior to that. I knew of him. But I never knew him as a person and as a friend and as my God. And that was the day that everything in my life turned and just became so sweet and so wonderful. And look, being a Christian is, it's not a road of roses, you know. Well, should I say it is? There's a lot of thorns around. And the devil really seeks to hammer you and try to deceive you and get you to be angry with God and to lose your way. But honestly, once you've put your life in Christ, I can tell you now, for him to take care of it, he is the back of this universe. Can we ever think of anyone greater that we should be putting our lives into his hands? He made us. He made every part of us. He knows exactly how you function. He knows that. And he wants to be your God. He wants to be your king. He wants you to surrender to him. He wants you to come to a place where you'll say, not my way, my God. Not my way. I choose yours. Not my way anymore. I choose your way. And when you do that, I can honestly tell you that Jesus Christ will step into your life and he will become your Lord and Savior as you continue to serve him from then on.
Rod, you just spoke about the life of a Christian is a bed of roses, but there are thorns in between. How do you handle the thorny temptations when they occur?
Well, you know, one of the greatest things, Johan, that I've come to know in Christianity is that the devil is seeking, as the Lord says in the Word of God, he's seeking those, you know, he's prowling around like a lion, roaring and seeking to destroy those who belong to Christ. And quite frankly, he wants to take that which you and I so enjoy with a relationship with Christ. He wants to remove that, and he wants to put you in a position where you will become, you know, you would fight God even, you know, if you ever could, but because of the things that the devil does. And he steals away from our families. He steals away from us personally. But the biggest problem, Johan, that I've ever come across in my life, the biggest enemy that I've ever faced in my life, the biggest enemy, whilst being a Christian, is Rob Stewart. Rob Stewart has been my biggest enemy because of the temptation in life, because of the things in life that pull us, try to pull us away from the things of God. And I've had to, you know, take myself and surrender myself so many times to Jesus Christ. He says, come to me and ask for forgiveness, and I will give you forgiveness every time you come to me. 70 times 7, I will forgive you every time. He's the God of the second chance. And so many times I mess up myself. Even though I've got a wonderful ministry where I see miracles, signs and wonders, even though I've got that ministry, that's his ministry actually, it's not mine. And even though I work in this ministry, let me tell you something, there are times that I fall. I'm not talking about bad sin or anything to that effect, but there are times where I even doubt God. There are times when I even struggle to have a good, wonderful relationship with him because it's difficult. And walking in the ministry, you know, it's like you all of a sudden have a big bullseye painted on your back, you know. for people to take you out and that kind of thing. Because that happens. Persecution comes, especially in the kind of ministry that I have. Persecution comes and things like this. And the more you speak out about Jesus, the more attacks you get, you know. But I have found that the more I've been able to actually realize that I'm in a transitional phase with Jesus Christ, I'm not perfect yet. I will only be perfect one day, just like you, when we get into heaven and we can spend eternity together. I will only be perfect then. But right now, I live as a forgiven and not forsaken son of Jesus Christ. I'm a son in the house. So are you, Johan, and so are the people that know him that are listening to us right now. We're sons and daughters in this house. Let's act like that. Let's act like that, because those who know Christ, let's be brothers to them. Let's be sisters to them. Let's be the answer to some of their prayers that they are praying. And let's help our brothers and sisters to live this life, this victorious life, in a better way, in a way that brings glory to our Father, you know.
Rod Stewart, it was an absolute blessed pleasure to have you on air this afternoon. You are such a blessing to so many people. May the Lord God Almighty have his hand over your life, over your family, and be blessed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, sir.
Thank you, John.